In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And I actually came prepared to talk about a topic today.
Oh, man.
Fully prepared.
Oh, okay.
I've actually been thinking about this. I know, I correct me if I'm wrong, but we've kept mentioning the upcoming new Justice League movie, right? And we keep saying we're going to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Or did
yeah.
we finally talk about it? I don't remember.
No.
I don't think we did completely.
Yeah, it was just like slightly passing, and then we moved on to another subject, but definitely something we wanted to touch on for a while.
Well, I want to talk about it.
Okay.
I want to talk about it today.
Okay.
Because of something else that's been happening in my life for the last week and a half.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to preface all this by saying that I am part of the binge watch culture.
Okay.
So I have, last week I was giving you more and more crap for all the different shows that you haven't seen.
Right.
Like, you still haven't seen The Mandalorian.
Right. I have not.
And you still haven't seen, I'm sure, a bunch of different things, because you don't have the plethora of streaming services that I do. And that's just so we're understanding, I'm not trying to shame Mike in any way of not wanting to pay for these different services. I'm just shaming him in the fact that he's missing out on culture, and I hate him for missing out on culture. I can understand his desire to not pay for those services, especially with the things he does with his life and the way he lives his life. Watching shows over and over again, specifically binge watching shows, is not necessarily something that he has the time or the inclination to do. Whereas that is very much what I do, and very much what my wife does. We love binge watching shows, and especially shows we've already seen before. We will watch them over and over again, at least if they're decent shows or they're shows that mean something to the person. Like, I'm guessing that Grey's Anatomy just means a whole lot to my wife because it's not a decent show, but I have seen that. I've seen that entire show, like all like 17 seasons or whatever.
Oh, man.
That show. I've seen it like 12 times straight through. So,
okay.
I mean, the upside is, anybody listening to this, if you ever are going to like a trivia night at a bar or something, and you know that Grey's Anatomy is going to be one of the topics for the trivia night, just, I'm the guy you want with you, because I guarantee you nobody's going to expect I'm going to know all the Grey's Anatomy stuff, and I will know everything. I will probably make like huge fans of Grey's Anatomy just be like, what?
That's great.
How did he know that? Yeah, so it's but anyway, I'm prefacing the conversation about Justice League with the fact that, yes, I have all of the various, at least almost, I think I actually have, might have all of the various different streaming services that you can possibly have. And I've watched a bunch of stuff on. I mean, recently I've actually been every week waiting patiently for Friday to come to watch new episodes of WandaVision. And oh my God. WandaVision, you know what that is, sir?
Yes, I am familiar with the show. I know what the show is. I haven't really seen anything. I am catching spoilers from people that can't keep their mouth shut on social media, which is completely understandable. I'm not saying that, I'm not ridiculing people for talking about it. Like, I've come to expect it at this point. It's a show I'm missing entirely, so that's okay.
I still think that, like, you should keep spoilers to as much minimum as possible.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything. No. No.
No, I'm talking about other people on social media.
Yes,
but
of course.
I will say, if you get the opportunity to ever see that, it's there's only been like six episodes, I think six episodes at this point.
Oh.
It just messes with your head.
Cool. Okay.
Like, in the best ways possible. The fake commercials that are in there are amazing. The way that they have it stylized in there is just, it is so brilliant and so messing with your head. And the references that are in there, they make references. It's like super meta references. Like they made a reference to a whole nother, they made a reference to an actor that was in the, that was in an, the last episode, and the actor in the episode, they made a reference to a completely other movie that that actor was in. And because, and it's about who the actor is.
Huh?
And it, I mean, it's very evident because of the situation, the actor is kind of present, and it's not only a joke on that actor, but it's a joke on a whole other actor and everything, and that's in all interconnected, and it's brilliant. Whoa. And amazing. I'll tell you at the break what it is.
Yeah,
but it's a brilliant and amazing momentary joke where you're like, oh, that's funny, because that's, it's like way beyond the scope of the Marvel cinematic universe. It's something completely different, and yet they're making a joke and a spoof off it, and it's, there's a lot of jokes that are fourth wall breaking jokes where like the joke happens because there's something that's not being explained in the series or something that doesn't make sense,
right?
And they make a joke about why it doesn't make sense.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, what? Yeah, it's,
oh man,
there's some stuff going on with it. It's a great series. But that's, having all of these, one of the reasons I got Disney Plus, because I knew The Mandalorian was coming, and I knew all of the, that Marvel was rolling out a whole bunch of different series. They got a What If animated series that's happening, which already looks fantastically amazing. I mean, if you've seen any of the previews for the What If, you want to see it, because I love the What If comics, but I'll give you this much, because it's in the trailer for it. Imagine Steve Rogers, Howard Stark's World War II era Iron Man suit, and Peggy Carter gets Erskine's formula.
Whoa.
And becomes basically like a Captain Britain, even though there was, whoa, a Captain Britain, which is a whole different character in the Marvel comics.
Right.
But she, and at one point going into battle, she rides on the back of Steve Rogers' Iron Man suit flying into battle. And she's got the shield and everything, the vibranium, whoa, shield, the whole deal.
And this is an animated, like,
this is an animated, Elseworlds, this is animated kind of deal? Series.
Whoa.
Well, it's not Elseworlds. Elseworlds is what DC, how, yeah, DC, yeah, deals with this.
Yeah.
This is actually a long running, I wouldn't say long running, but it was a regular thing that would happen in the Marvel comics. It was the What If series. What if these things happened instead?
Whoa.
I actually have one of the What If comics that was one of my favorite ones, which is why I have a copy of it. It was What If the alien symbiote,
yeah,
didn't connect with Eddie Brock, and it has the symbiote not only going back to Peter Parker after Parker tries to get rid of it,
right,
but it hops onto like Thor at one point, it hops onto, oh, the Hulk at one point, and it drains their bodies completely of all their life essence, and eventually I think Thor may be the last person that it connects with. And Black Bolt ends up having to take on the symbiote with the power of Thor, you know, at its beck and call. And of course, Black Bolt, all he has to do is open his mouth and the symbiote is destroyed. And so it's, but like, Peter Parker ends up being like 90 years old because his life was drained out of him, and Banner dies, and all these other heroes throughout the Marvel thing were trying to battle off the symbiote and,
right,
got taken over by it and destroyed by it. And it was, I always loved Spider-Man. He's my favorite Marvel character when I was a kid, still is my favorite Marvel character. And Venom is like the ultimate baddie. Cause like, that's the, right, one dude that, and the cool thing is Venom was a baddie, but then Venom became kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
But then he's still like, he's a good guy until Spider-Man comes around. And then it's like, you know, I can't be good anymore. I got to go beat the crap out of this dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a nice guy the majority of the time, but that fucker right there, that skinny little bitch, I got to take his ass down. And so I always loved Venom as a character. Plus he looks fucking cool.
Oh yeah.
He looks so cool.
Oh yeah. Always.
And so that was a fun one for me to have. But again, that's why I got the Disney Plus, was for all of those. I've had, you know, all the other ones for many different years. I've done some silly things like get Amazon Prime so that I can watch kind of obscure sci-fi shows like Warehouse 13 and Fringe and, you know, stuff like that that most people aren't overly familiar with or haven't seen. So I got HBO Max for basically two reasons. One reason was because of the fact that not all of my Harry Potter DVDs work anymore. Goblet of Fire, that's the fourth one. I'm explaining this because if I remember correctly, you're not a Potterhead, right?
I'm not really, no. I never really got into it. A lot of friends I had were into it. I just, it was one of those things I, you know me, man. I've missed out on a lot of movie culture in the last, since I worked at Blockbuster with you many years ago.
Well, and Harry Potter, I was introduced to it by selling toys at Blockbuster. These toys showed up and parents are coming in to get the toys. And I'm like, it's a three-headed dog. That's Cerberus, right? No, it's Fluffy. What the hell? I mean, it's cool that you're calling a three-headed dog Fluffy, but that's freaking Cerberus. I know my mythology. No, it's Fluffy. Okay. Do you have any Harry Potter toys? I don't know. Well, you have the Fluffy. That's Cerberus. I'm not getting what you're saying here. And I didn't even know what it was until one day I happened to be at a mall, and it's a mall in the Sacramento area, actually in Sacramento itself. And it has a movie theater that's right next to the mall. Kind of there's the mall, then there used to be an Amazing record store, then there was a bookstore and a pizza place. And then, you know which mall I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And,
oh, my God. Is it still there? It's not still there anymore.
I think the mall is there.
It is.
But
those the stores can't be.
Yeah, the mall is there, but I have not gone into that mall in years, and I'm kind of terrified, too.
fair.
It's not in the best neighborhood. Yeah. Interestingly, where I went to college is like five blocks away from that mall.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I made sure that I stayed around my college building and I didn't stray too far from my college building. There was at least once or twice when I was there where there were sirens up and down the street and helicopters flying around us and all that kind of stuff, because crazy area of Sacramento. But anyway, my wife and I were just still dating at that point, and we happened to be in the bookstore just looking at books and stuff. I always loved books. I'm an avid reader. And we were in the bookstore looking at stuff, and we saw that this movie was playing, this first Harry Potter movie, and we had heard about the craze. Her sisters had been reading the books, and, you know, I remember all the kids coming in wanting to buy crap at Blockbuster for it. So I'm like, you know what? Hell, let's see what's going on with this. We didn't know till later. It was opening day. We actually ended up getting a little commemorative pin that this one theater was handing out to everybody on opening day for it. And we got to see Harry Potter on opening day, not realizing they just hadn't, you know, extra tickets. So we bought a couple tickets, went and sat and hooked, ended up buying all the books, reading all the books. We watch the movies probably four or five times a year. It's usually one of the times is around Thanksgiving. It's kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's kind of one of those Christmas, but not Christmas traditions. We don't watch a lot of Christmas movies in this house, but we do watch Harry Potter for some reason. That's considered Christmassy for us.
Okay.
But anyway, like I said, my Goblet of Fire, that's the fourth one. It has some skipping issues. And then the eighth movie, which is technically the seventh book, but the second half of the seventh book, book was kind of such a big story. They made it into two movies. Kind of necessary, but then they cut a bunch of subplots that I think would have been nice to have. Although some of them they had to cut because they'd cut them earlier. It's a great universe, vast universe. Read the damn books, like I say to so many things. Read the books, because there's so much more in the books. There really is. The books are so much richer, so much better, but the movies are fun too. But again, since it's tradition to watch them, we hate having the ones that skip regularly. So, you know, having all of them available to be able to watch in streaming made it so I didn't have to go out and spend like $80 on a, you know, Blu-ray copy of all of them together, you know, a package deal.
Okay.
But I also got HBO, the HBO streaming service, because I wanted to be able to see as much as I am much more of a professed Marvel lover, and I am, I did want to have access to almost all of the DC category is of stuff, almost all of their lineup of movies, all the animated stuff. I know I borrowed one or two from you at different points in time, but I wanted the opportunity to watch the DC animated, which is where they shine. Their animated stuff is amazing. They do the different universes, the different versions of things. It's great. It's wonderful. And I wanted to be able to also see, I have a good number of DC movies. Like I have the four, if you want to call it the four original Batman movies.
Right.
I don't know if you want to call it that way. Let's see. We can call them the two good Batman movies. The one that I love, but isn't really that good. And the one that nobody likes. We can look at it that way.
Okay.
Yes. Which is, you know, that era of the Burton Schumacher era of Batman. And of course I have the original Batman movie that was the Adam West Batman movie. Cause if you are any kind of a comic book fan, you need to have the original Batman movie. That's just kind of one of those things to have. And then of course I have, the Christian Bale Batman movies because those are pretty good. But I wanted everything, just about everything at my fingertips. You know, I think the only one I don't need to see ever is, of course, the Joker movie, but that's a subject for another time. But I also gotten the HBO because I knew the rumblings had been happening. The rumblings and the complaining had been happening from the Justice League movie. And we've talked about it before. I've defended, Mike has also defended, the good points of the Batman versus Superman movie, the Dawn of Justice movie, the good points of the Justice League movie. And yes, there are some good points in those movies. There are some things that are good in both of those films. In fact, I think there's more good in the Batman versus Superman than there is necessarily in the Justice League movie, but still there are good points in all of them. And I enjoy watching both of the movies. And in fact, one of the things that people were so down about, the whole Martha sequence.
Yeah.
I actually love that sequence because it's at that moment that Batman realizes that he has, that this alien creature he's worried about, he doesn't know, and he's worried about wielding all this power and being at this destructive force. This alien creature is just as human as him. His mom's got the same name as my mom. And Batman, if you think about it, you want to think, oh, he's an older Batman. He's been through all these different things. Yeah, but like a lot of his development stopped when his parents were freaking brutally murdered in front of him.
Right.
That stopped him in a point where like the vengeance thing, his whole vengeance crusade and a lot of that is actually in many ways a very childish thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very childish way of his response to the violence that he saw. Now, he doesn't go and, you know, his rule is supposed to be that he doesn't kill, although the idea is at that point in his life, he's gotten to where he might be a little more killy than he was before. but the point is, there's some retardation in his personal growth. So to have somebody be spitting a name out like that, his mom's name, and it's like he's like taken back to his mom, thinking like, what has he been doing all these nights for all these years? He's been trying to stop another Thomas and Martha Wayne being killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he has the chance to save another Martha. And it gives him that chance, so he gets a possibility to redeem himself, which is actually, I think that follows through in Justice League. He's so much more personable, so much more, so much less of that angry and gritty.
Yeah.
And I think that's because him being able to save a Martha helped him to heal a little. He saved Martha. It wasn't his Martha, but it was somebody else's Martha. And moreover, that was this dude's mom. And all this dude was worried about was saving his mom. And Batman's like, I get that.
Right, right.
Did we just become best friends? Yes, you did. The scene made sense to me. I never had a problem with that scene. The only problem I really had, major problem I had with that movie was the choice for Lex Luthor. The Lex Luthor was awful. He's a great actor in other things, not in this specifically. Like, I love him in Zombieland. He is perfectly cast in Zombieland.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg, perfectly cast. And I loved his little sister when his little sister was hawking Pepsi. She was cute little kid singing about Pepsi, and I'm like, I like Pepsi too.
Wait a minute, kid.
Yeah, the little Pepsi girl with the dimples and the black curly hair.
That's Jesse Eisenberg's sister?
Yeah, that's his sister.
I did not know that.
I figured you didn't. That's why I said it.
I'll be damned. That's a, well, so, I mean, a nice little tidbit of trivia there. Thank you.
There you go. But he does have some good acting roles, and he does have his purposes where he's great as Lex Luthor. Not so much. There was nothing intimidating, nothing scary, nothing of any point where I'm worried about that dude. You know what I mean? He just looks like a whiny kid.
Yeah.
I want somebody that's got a little bit more. It's a little bit more fearsome. I mean, just a little bit. I mean, if we're talking about bald villains, right? you can go over to the Daredevil series on Netflix.
Yes.
And D'Onofrio's take on the Kingpin. Oh my God.
Oh, that's whole series.
Scary. It's a great series.
Yes.
Very, very violent.
Extremely.
But great series.
Yes.
And yeah, Kingpin in that is just.
Oh, he glued that shit together. D'Onofrio he glues that shit together, the whole thing. Like, the Kingpin in that series is such an emotional roller coaster, but if there is nothing that is ever denied about him, is how fucking intimidating that guy is. He is just ominous constantly. Yeah. Even when he's with people that you know he cares about, you're still afraid he's going to do something to really fucking hurt them at any point in time. And it's just a brilliant performance. Absolutely brilliant.
He exudes power and threat the entire time.
And it's
beautiful. Yeah.
And that is what you should expect from Lex Luthor as a character as well. Eisenberg does not put that out. And I will agree with you on that front for sure. He's kind of got this, to me, he comes off to me like this. A lot of people are saying that they're trying to get they're trying to make Eisenberg like the Joker. I don't think they're trying to make him like the Joker. I don't think Eisenberg was trying to work like the Joker. He's a lot more like a young, rich Charles Manson than he is anything. If you've ever seen Manson in interviews or anything like that, he is always moving, always charismatic, but always very just hard to follow and moving from point to point to point to point all the time. And he's always intimidating in a spider monkey kind of a way. You know what I mean? Like, no, you don't want to be trapped in an elevator with this guy. You're going to lose your face. That kind of a thing.
And again, we've discussed the theory on here that if they had made him be like the Lex Luthor 2 or the second, the clone of the original Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I could have been okay with that, because that clone was okay for a while, and then he went kind of crazy, because clones kind of do that.
Right, right.
Especially in DC, clones, bad things happen with clones in most comic books. There's been a few sci-fi realms where clones come out okay, but for the most part, clones are a bad thing. If somebody offers you a clone of your dead weapons master as a gift, that clone is going to kill somebody important at some point or another, because it's been pre-programmed in its brain to do something like that.
Right.
By the way, that is a deep, deep sci-fi reference. Points for anybody that gets what sci-fi thing I'm talking about with that. Because that's a deep one. You have to be heavy into sci-fi to know that reference.
Okay, I'm not sure how heavy I am in a sci-fi, or whether or not I should know that.
I made you watch one movie that was made about that that book series, but made you watch, in fact, more than once. Back in the old apartment days. In fact, they're making a new movie of it that will be coming out soon. We'll talk about that one at a later date.
Okay.
But again, back to what we're
going to talk about. Don't give it away for me. I want to see if I can rack my brain later, even not necessarily during the podcast later, and see if I can realize what it is. I want to play the same game, you know?
It'll hit you at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have this new Justice League movie coming out. We've talked about it a couple of times, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Mentioned the fact this is the Zack Snyder cut. And this is going to have, trailers have been dropped where they have added in some footage. Some of it, you see some more of the Victor Stone football footage that was in some of the original trailers way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Victor Stone is going to be fleshed out a little bit more. The character of Steppenwolf has been changed back to its original form, and it will be dealt with in a wholly different fashion. And he is far more brutal than he was in the Joss Whedon version of Justice League.
But
he's also going to get beaten. There will be Superman in a black costume.
Yes,
there
I will didn't see be, that.
There will be an evil Superman. There will be that whole flashback sequence that Batman had in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
That whole flashback sequence will get paid off by at least either that, or there'll be some more flashback sequence, because there has been flashbacks. There's been more of that sequence where he's in like the desert look and he's hiding. And of course, in the most recent trailer, he comes across an old friend, the very end of the trailer.
Yes.
Which is amazing. If you don't know who I'm talking about, go see the damn trailer.
Yeah.
Find it on your YouTube.
So many. Yeah. We don't want to give away too much. I have seen that trailer. I've seen the trailer that you're talking about, and my God, am I excited.
Yeah, that was nuts.
It definitely was not. It was. I can I state my satisfaction in not just. Oh man, I don't want to give away exactly what we're talking about. It can be insinuated at this point, I'm sure. But I definitely love that there are changes, and they're not subtle. But they are very, I don't know, I like what I saw a lot more than what I've previously seen. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
By far, I'll just keep it at that.
The new version of what you're seeing far exceeds the previous version that's been dealt with recently.
Oh, man. Blows it out of the water. Like, and this is what I wanted to see. This is what I wanted to see.
And here's the thing. That's important that you say that. I'm glad you said this is what I wanted to see. Because this whole thing, this whole Snyder cut of Justice League came because of the fan backlash for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
There was fan backlash for Justice League. Apparently there was also actor backlash, because Joss Whedon now is like, he's the untouchable one. Nobody's messing with him anymore, in the sense that nobody wants to work with him anymore, because apparently he is a complete nutter freaking douchebag.
Yeah. So that's what I heard.
He's jobless.
Whew, yep. He's not doing stuff for a while.
even Buffy went and turned on his ass.
That's crazy. I didn't even know.
And for good reason.
Oh, yes. Yes, very much. I didn't hear any details from her specifically. She did show a message of support, but I did hear from, oh my gosh, I can't remember what her name is in the series, but Charisma Carpenter. She was the one who spoke out and said something.
Cordelia, she was in the series.
Yes, thank you.
I have pain for knowing that.
You know what's really funny is, like, I told my wife about the Buffy the Vampire Slayer television series. She's like, yeah, I heard about it and I never really watched it. So I sat her down and I had her watch the first season. And then she did not stop watching the rest of the seasons, the entire series, of her own accord, all the way through to the very end. And I wasn't even, like, there to see the rest of it. But she loved it.
She did the binging.
She binged that one. Yeah.
I tried to get the wife into Buffy. She wasn't into Buffy. Okay. But she was able to jump right into watching Angel and follow Angel all the way through.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's because she's a fan of that David Bory Nana guy, whatever the hell his name is. She used to love the TV series Bones, and so he's in that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
David Bory Nana. Anyway.
That's fantastic.
But again, this Justice League movie is being made because of all the backlash. You had the backlash from Justice League. You had the backlash from Batman versus Superman. You had the way big backlash from Suicide Squad, deservedly.
Yeah, as someone who is as tolerant of, I wouldn't say tolerant. I love the hell out of DC franchises. That movie annoyed the piss out of me. I laughed out loud in the theater during one of the most pivotal emotional scenes, because I could not handle how bad the acting was, and I felt like an asshole because nobody else was laughing but me.
You know what's funny about that, though?
What's that?
Is you know, there's you laughed at it, and
yes,
it had a ton of backlash, and all this backlash created this, hopefully, this beautiful thing, this final vision that Snyder wanted to have for the way he was completing his arc in DC, which, hey, I love Man of Steel too. I love that movie. Every time I see that movie on, I watched, I think I saw that one in the theaters. I love the movie, but I get the idea that everybody wants this. Zack Snyder's getting his chance to do it, but I have a major problem with this. I have a problem with this. I'm glad because I want to see this too.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with this, and I'm starting to have with this, I'm starting to have it with not just the DC fan base. I'm having it to some extent with the Marvel fan base, which they haven't been as vocal about it as the DC have, as far as the differences and changes that happen in the movies, in the different mediums, right?
Right.
The Marvel ones haven't been as vocal about it, which I think that's because so far Marvel has done a little better with adapting the things in an appropriate fashion, what they have to work with and make work. Mm-hmm. And DC, especially we've discussed again before, in the cinematic stuff, in the live action stuff, DC keeps missing the point. In the animated, they hit the points properly, especially because they can do multiple different versions of things, all the different worlds that happen, all the different variations, and make it work much easier in the animated. Although I do believe that the CW DC universe did a very good job of having the meshing of different worlds and different alternate realities, and they dealt with it and discussed it with characters like Flash, who has the ability to cross over between different worlds and different dimensions and whatnot. But the problem I'm having here is there are so many complaints that came out about the Man of Steel movie. And there was a lot of complaints about Man of Steel and how the character was handled by Zack Snyder. Then complaints about Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, then complaints about the Justice League movie.
Right.
And even complaints about the Suicide Squad movie too, you know, because heck, I even said something about it.
Yeah.
And yet they complained about those. And yet they being the DC fan base, idolize and revere a TV series so much to the point that there were campaigns to get the star from this TV series to play the role in the newest set of films. And people were angry that he didn't, that not just these set of films, but even one that came out a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago. There were people that were so angry that this guy wasn't chosen to play the role, because this series is idolized as being this amazing series and one of the best ever for the character. And I have been subjugated to watch the first six seasons of this show over the last week and a half. Because guess what? It's on Hulu, and we've already watched all the other things multiple times.
Okay.
I think we just finished. What did we just finish?
If it's on Hulu. I think I can see it.
Something else. We just recently finished, and so we moved on to this new show because, you know, we'd finished one. We got to find another one to watch. I'm on the sixth season now. And this is a show that's remembered fondly, idolized as this great show for these characters. And let me tell you right now, the show is garbage. It destroys the mythos way more than the Snyder films. And I'm going to defend it after we come back from the break.
Okay, you know, I still have no idea what the fuck this is.
This series is Smallville.
Really?
We'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Hey!
If you're still with us, if I haven't made you just shut this off in disgust by me talking this way about Smallville, because here's the thing, right? For years, people told
right
me
into I it. Need to I love watch it. Smallville.
I people love it told right me I need it. To watch it. I have to. I got to go right into this.
Yeah.
People told me when it first came out, people were like, you need to watch Smallville. I'm like, seriously, that's just Dawson's Creek with Superman painted over it. I already went down that road years ago. I ain't going down that road again. I don't need to watch this crap. Okay. This is not really Superman. I'm not having this. No, you need to watch it. It's amazing. This is, you know, Superman growing up in Smallville and all these things happening and whatnot. And I'm like, you really want to go there? And so here's the problem I have, right? When people take these newer movies, like The Man of Steel, like the Dawn of Justice, like the Justice League, and they point out, one, the kind of the crappiness of some of the acting, some of the storyline, but like the inconsistencies. Well, you know, this isn't supposed to do that, and that's not how they met, and they aren't supposed to be this way. And I'm like, really? Find me before Smallville came out. Find me Chloe Sullivan in any Superman comic, because she didn't exist. She existed after that, after she was in that series. Complete fabrication for the series. Better yet, find me a point where Lex Luthor knew Clark Kent in Smallville. Better.
Right.
How's it a 3-hour drive from Smallville, Kansas to Metropolis, which is supposed to be located on the East Coast? It's not New York, by the way. DC does have its own New York City. It has New York City.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Metropolis is right by New York City, and it's right across the bay from Gotham, which is in New Jersey. Just so you know, so you get an idea.
That doesn't even geographically work.
Yeah, it does, actually.
It does?
Yeah, Long Island is right across the water from New Jersey.
Would Metropolis then be Long Island?
It's
like a suburb of New York, but not?
It's kind of, yes. It's connected to New York.
Okay. That's cool. I didn't know that. I had no clue about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the exact geographical location of Metropolis.
I've had to look up the map to find out, like, Coast City is basically where LA is. Star City is basically Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hub City is like right in the middle, like, I think like Missouri. Central City also in that area.
Right.
So I mean, there's, anyway, point being, which makes, actually I'm thinking about it, makes that line in Batman Forever where Bruce tells says something to Dick about the circus being almost halfway to Metropolis by now. It's not really that far. It's just, you know, bridge and tunnel. But anyway, point being, you can't have Metropolis in Kansas and it have a harbor anywhere, because there's no harbor in Kansas. Still, these first six seasons are basically every single episode. Oh, somebody's encountered meteor rocks, kryptonite, which apparently all over Smallville. The fact that they're all over there doesn't stop him from exuding his powers, because he has to apparently get within like 5 feet of them for them to do anything to him. The fact that the whole ground should be littered by them and irradiated by them apparently has no effect. But anybody else, any human that comes in contact with them, suddenly they get some weird, freaky superpower, and they're freaking everywhere. You can just go out into a field and find some freaking meteor rocks anywhere you want to. It's like, once somebody finds out that that's his weakness, they could just build a suit of armor of meteor rocks and just be like, hey, bitch, come at me, because she can't. They're everywhere, and they create every little thing. It's like, if I remember correctly from the comics, let's go back to the Richard Donner Superman movie. Okay. The first major Superman movie, like, Lex Luthor had to go to steal a rock that had come down in a meteor shower in freaking Africa. It had fallen in Africa, and he had to go into like a museum, like I said, to steal that, to have the kryptonite.
Right.
That's the only one there was. That's, and in fact, in the third one, part of the plot of the third one is synthesizing, the third Superman movie, synthesizing kryptonite, and they screw it up, and that's how you get the bizarro but not bizarro Superman. and you know, you have, you know, the fight between Christopher Reeve and Christopher Reeve, two of the tallest, skinniest guys fighting ever. but like, these rocks are everywhere, and all these people are finding out about his powers, and all kinds of weird drama with Lana and Lex and these triangles. And guess what? Chloe's cousin, Lois Lane. He meets Lois Lane while he's still in Smallville. Instead of not meeting Lois Lane until he goes to Metropolis, far, far, far away. But the right. Luther family, totally entwined with his family. Drama all the time, back and forth. Superman is a complete and utter flipping idiot. Like, literally, he is so stupid. Exceptionally stupid. Recently, in the episodes I've been watching, he teams up finally with Oliver Queen, who's wearing a pleather sleeveless hoodie.
Okay.
Bart Allen, and let me add
Bart Allen.
Yes, Bart Allen. It's Bart Allen, Bart Allen is one of the. He's actually a Flash from the future. Don't make me explain it to you. But anyway, I'm gonna go back to Oliver. I just lost myself laughing. I'm gonna go back to the Oliver Queen Green Arrow thing. Okay.
Okay.
Luckily, they actually stay true to the comics in this, and the fact that he has gadgety arrows as opposed to just going around and being a fusion. Instead of being a fusion of Batman and Green Arrow and like some random psychopath, like is done in the Arrow TV series,
right?
Where he's just basically on the edge and going to like kill somebody if he snaps too much and beats the crap out of everybody. This actually stays a little more true to the way that Green Arrow was in the comics. He steals from rich people. He tries to stop abuse things from happening. He's dashing and has trick arrows and isn't like, you know, beating people to a bloody pulp because he learned how to fight as being part of the Bratva during the, you know, 5 years he was missing and went through a bunch of stuff that they only reveal to you a year at a time. When it's relevant to the plot. that's a tale for a whole nother day.
Okay.
And that's a series I like, by the way. I like the Arrow series, but still it has problems. but so Green Arrow is in a green pleather sleeveless hoodie.
That sounds terrible.
And wears black sunglasses, and it's bright green too. Like, where are you hiding? Bart Allen, who is Impulse, not the Flash, he is Impulse, is wearing a red t-shirt with a different color red pleather hoodie, glasses, and it has a lightning bolt on a big yellow lightning bolt on the hoodie. And it's a sleeveless hoodie. It is a sleeveless hoodie. So it's the darker color red, and then the lighter color red t-shirt is underneath the sleeveless hoodie.
So these guys are, so you have red hoodie guy and green hoodie guy?
Then you have Cyborg.
Oh no.
Who, by the way, has no visible cybernetic parts whatsoever. It's just wearing a body form-fitting silver and blue suit. Okay?
Wait.
It looks like it's somewhat plastic molded, but that's all he's wearing. You see, you know, all of his parts.
This all happens in... Wait a minute, hold on. We're still talking about Smallville?
This is in Smallville, sir. This is in the show Smallville.
What the fuck, dude?
It gets better. It gets better.
I didn't know these parts and pieces of Smallville. I always, like, back in the day when I was looking, you know, used record stores when, like, Dimple was out and stuff, like, I was always like, man, it'd be kind of cool to see the Smallville series. You are definitely convincing me that that is not something I should do.
I'm not even done.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm not even done.
Okay.
There's one final member of the team.
Uh-huh.
Aquaman.
Oh, shit.
And that motherfucker is wearing green pants and an orange shirt. When Clark joins them on their mission to once again expose, this is to destroy a facility that Lex Luthor is doing stuff in, but is lying to everybody about doing stuff in. Except for his dad, although he might be lying to his dad about it. It's so weird because everybody's lying to everybody else, and then they find it out in not convoluted ways. And this is just literally a soap opera this is a teen soap opera with Superman thrown on it. Okay. This is terrible. Almost as watching this to me is almost as bad as the premise of actually in some ways worse than the premise of the whole Joker movie, where it's a story about a guy that's got mental problems and goes nuts covered in DC clothes. This is a teen soap opera covered in DC clothes, and it's they're bad DC clothes. I will say, like I says, when Clark joins them on this mission, they give him the code name Boy Scout, which is funny. If you know anything about Superman comics, yes, he's been called a Boy Scout before. So
of course,
I applaud them for that moment. And they have made a couple of very funny references. They do make funny references to a lot of things, which are great. Like when at the end of that episode, when all this group is leaving to go to Corto Maltese and go take on another Luther plant, Chloe, who knows, of course, about Clark's secret, because there's like 30 people who know about Clark's secret, including Lex Luthor's dad, who for some reason, after he was possessed by the spirit of Jor-El, decides to not tell Lex about Clark's powers, mainly because he's kind of pining for Clark's mom because Clark's dad's dead. I'm not even making any of this up. This is actually what's happening right now. Wait, while I'm watching this.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, as they're leaving, Chloe mentions the fact that, wow.
Wait, what season does, what season does Bo Duke die?
Season 5.
Oh, okay. And
actually, funny enough, a couple of episodes before he dies, about 7 or 8 episodes before he dies, he's visited by his old friend who drives up in a blue Charger.
Okay. And yes,
it's the other Duke boy.
It's it's fucking Luke, yes. Duke.
And it's funny because Jonathan Kent, he hops in the driver's seat at one point, and the other one goes through the window and looks at him like, what? Oh, the door's been stuck for years, and they go taking off driving, and there is a shot of the Charger getting air over the camera.
As they're
driving. So they make some funny references.
Okay.
Somebody references, you've been hanging out with your friend, you bunch of good old boys. So in that episode, talking about them.
Okay.
So
that episode's really fun.
There's, you get to see the actress playing Lois Lane do a little bit of a striptease, so that's fun. But anyway,
good.
But the point being, there are so many things as I'm watching this. It's literally every time something's wrong with somebody, either Lex did it or it's Meteor Rocks or Lex did it with Meteor Rocks. Every episode. Something's wrong with that dude. Must be Meteor Rocks. And then you're somewhere else.
Lex, like, what did you do with the Meteor Rocks?
Well, and then, like I said, then you're somewhere else and something happens. You're like, that can't be Meteor Rocks. And the person's like, yeah, I was in a car accident and I was dying and I got this heart. And the heart came from somebody who was from Smallville and died during the meteor shower. And like, it gave me all these powers when I got this heart. And again, not kidding. That's actually something that happens in the show. This is an actual reference to something. So it's like,
I know this series is based on an alien that flies down to this planet after his planet blows up. And then when he gets here, he has all these crazy superpowers like laser vision and crazy bullshit like that. But you've at least got to be able to take that unbelievable portion of the story, that basic unbelievable portion of the story, and not make it believable by putting a bunch of other crazy shit all up around it to where that doesn't even seem like the out of place thing.
Here's the thing though. Like it's literally like almost every week there's some kind of new meteor freak that something's happening to.
Sorry.
And they call them meteor freaks. They do. But here's the funny part about it. Clark is terrified to tell anybody about his powers when there's people all over the place with powers.
Wait, you mean you've got some dude with an irradiated heart doing crazy bullshit like that, and you've got like everybody is lying to everybody else about literally everything all of the time, and you've got a rich dude who's trying, like, so Lex is still trying to, like, he's trying to do the deep, dark, and terrible shit, right? Like, he's trying to be the conniving dudes trying to take over the world and all that.
Not at first. Actually, at first he gets saved by Clark, and he's trying to be a good guy and a nice guy and be Clark's best friend. And then eventually over the five seasons, he starts becoming more and more evil. But like at first, he's trying to be a really nice guy. But then Clark's not telling him anything and not trusting him. And so he starts getting pissed at Clark because Clark's being a douche. And then everything, anything happens, he goes and yells at Lex for it. And Lex is like, what? I mean, fuck, man. Eventually he's like, okay, yes, he's still like, why are you saying this? And then second Clark leaves. It's like, crap, he knows about this. How did he find out about this? So eventually he starts doing all the bad things. But at first he's not doing all the bad things. It's just like, he's been accused so many times. Like, well, screw it. If he's going to say I'm doing the bad things, I guess I'm going to do the bad things. They've had some interesting things that they've dealt with. Brainiac was dealt with in there, which is kind of, it was an interesting play on fun. Brainiac.
Okay.
Of course, at one point or another, Lex gets possessed by the wraith of Zod. Because when Zod was trapped in the Phantom Zone, apparently it was his spirit, not his physical form. And so the spirit came in and for like one episode possessed Lex and had him do a bunch of crazy stuff. Yeah. And here's the scary part. Like, I've told you all of this stuff, but apparently further down the line, there is a Martian Manhunter in here, so I've only seen him a little bit. I can't wait to see if they actually do something decent with him. He was taken care of decently in the Supergirl TV series.
Are you talking about Martian Manhunter in Smallville, or are you talking about him in Supergirl, or what are you talking about him in?
Both. He's made a couple of appearances in Smallville so far, but nothing substantial.
That's fun. Okay.
And he was handled quite well in the Supergirl series.
Okay. Cool.
And apparently he will also be addressed in the Justice League movie.
Really?
We have actually already seen his human form.
Really?
Yes, we have seen his human form.
Who is he?
I'm leaving that up for people to find out, but I'll tell you after. It's pretty obvious who he is. When you really think about it.
Okay.
But anyway, just one of those things. If you know anything about the character of the Martian Manhunter in more of the recent comics, then you will know exactly who it is.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm watching all of this and I'm thinking back I'm watching this. I'm seeing the trailer come up for the Zack Snyder cut. I'm seeing the horrific atrocities that are happening in this TV series that people have talked about loving so much. And again, to the point where when Brandon Routh was chosen to play Superman in Superman Returns, there was an outcrying for Tom Welling to play. Why can't Tom Welling do it? Tom Welling's he's played Superman. Well, he doesn't look old enough for what we want for Superman. Okay. Bullshit, he's like 3 years older than Brandon Routh. How is he not old enough?
Well, whether or not he's physically old enough, yeah, whether or not he's actually like technically old enough to play a part and look the part doesn't mean that. I think I see where they were going with in Brandon Routh. I mean, that whole movie was a bad flop.
Well, especially
Singer
looking back at it
fucked
now,
that
with,
up, man. Like, well,
especially looking back at it now with Kevin Spacey in the role of Lex Luthor, it's
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of many mistakes were made. Quite a few mistakes were made, but the what I'm getting at specifically is more so about the just the fact first off that they based that on the. They based that sequel, it was a direct sequel to the Donner Cut of Superman 2, which yes. Nobody had fucking seen at that point. They like released the Donner Cut like 6 months before the movie came out, and probably because Bryan Singer's like, I want to do a sequel to this one because those other movies suck, which he's not wrong. Superman
no,
3,
he's, not wrong.
He's absolutely not wrong. But why did you just, first off, why did you make the movie? The question is, should the movie be made at this point? Because you want to make it based on a franchise that's 25 years old, based on a movie that the director's cut that nobody has ever seen except for you. So you set up to release that version so everybody's familiar with it. Who the fuck's going to be interested in it at that point? Like, it was just a bad promo call. Everything was done horribly.
And again, Bryan Singer, another director that nobody will work with anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a few of them. Quite a few of them now.
Yeah.
The number's starting to come up, man.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that, though? I don't hear anybody... I don't necessarily hear people screaming cancel culture as much with those situations. But anyway, it seems to be one group of people screams the cancel culture thing, like, oh, you're stopping us, you're canceling us now because you don't like the things that we're saying or doing. But then the other side is like when Kevin Spacey got knocked down, I didn't hear much about cancel culture. I heard more about we don't want to deal with Kevin Spacey ever again. And even though he is like the lead in one of the biggest shows,
big fucking deal. But
yeah, and I mean, even when Kevin Spacey was like the lead in one of the biggest Netflix shows ever,
they took care of that shit. Yeah, that was nuts. But you know what?
I know I watched it.
You watched the end of the series?
I've seen that series four times. Like I said, my wife loves to binge.
Okay. Well, anyway, also, shit, there was another thing I had based on. Speaking of just side point on the cancel culture thing, I think I shared a video with you. Christopher Titus does a podcast, and he did one on cancel culture. It's fucking brilliant, and I think you should see it.
I think I might have. But okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I watched it. We don't talk about other
podcasts. we don't talk about other podcasts here. This is ours. Man, until they start talking about us.
No, come on.
No, they need to talk about us first, damn it.
Oh, okay.
When they talk about us, we'll talk about them.
Oh, okay. That's the game we're playing. All right.
But anyway, people wanted Tom Welling to play that Superman. When Man of Steel came out, people were saying that Tom Welling could play that Superman.
Dude, they're going to ask for Tom Welling to play Superman until he croaks.
But why?
I don't think he's even interested in doing it.
He did, actually. He did not come back and play Superman. There is a very, very, very
technically speaking, clear, yes. I did see that episode, by the way, and it was wonderful.
He came back and played Clark Kent only, and it was his moment in there is very hilarious. It's
to anybody that may not be familiar with this, what we're talking about is the Crisis on Infinite Earths multi-series story arc. That just happened. Was it last year? Was last year, right? Early last year?
It was last year in the DCCW universe.
Yeah. And so one of the things that they did was they pulled so many people and it opened up a DC multiverse using TV series, which I thought was absolutely brilliant.
And we discussed the fact that Kevin Conroy got to be in it as an aging Batman. Routh was in it as a version of Superman.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think he played his Superman. No, he played Kingdom Come, didn't he?
Yes, he played Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
Tom Welling is his version of Superman. You have Ducky playing Lex Luthor, which is amazing because he was Lex Luthor's nephew in
John
the original.
Cryer, Ducky?
Yes. Ducky.
That's oh, no, I know is. Who you He's mean. Ducky. I know you mean. You're right. He is Ducky.
He's always going to be Ducky. He's never going to get away from being Ducky. That's one of but those yeah, things.
It was actually very satisfying to see Tom Welling punch John Cryer in the face.
Yeah.
It was great. It's a great scene.
It'd just be like, still stronger. It makes sense for that version of Clark Kent to decide just to be Clark Kent.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
Well, all the drama bullshit that's going down, there'd be no reason for him to continue to do shit like that.
Yeah, it's like if you know, I'm just done with Meteor Rocks. Yeah. We're done with this.
Fuck that. I'm going back home and starting a family.
But that's the thing is, as I'm watching this, and this thing is something that's so highly touted, and this is, you know, one of the greatest series that's ever been done for Superman. And it's like, is it really though, or is it just better than all the other crappy series? Because let's be honest, The Adventures of Lois and Clark, that was, I mean, that's way worse than this was. I remember being a big thing at the time.
Is that Dean Cain?
And was Terry Hatcher.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That was awful. Which, funny enough, Dean Cain has come back as a part in the Supergirl TV series.
Who's he playing
a major
Supergirl?
Role in that. He's Kara's adopted dad.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's kind of cute. That's funny. I like that.
But then oh gosh, I can't think of the actress who played Supergirl in the original Supergirl movie. She's in the series as well.
Oh, yeah, cool.
They brought a bunch of people in. Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane in Smallville.
Yeah.
She plays a part in the Supergirl series. One of the things that is a common theme, which I did like that Smallville kept going, was the fact that you have previous Superman actors that get brought in to work on the other Superman stuff. Again, bringing John Cryer back in. And this happened later with the CW stuff. CW, the CW DC-verse did that a lot. They brought in the Flash from the late 90s Flash TV series.
Yeah.
To play Barry's dad and to play another world's Flash.
Yeah.
Who comes and helps him at different points in time. They brought Mark Hamill back to play the same villain role that he played before. They've done a lot of that, bringing back older Superman or DC, just older DC actors have been brought back into the fold to play different parts. And I mean, again, with Smallville, Annette O'Toole as Martha Kent, she was Lana Lang in Superman 3.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's always some kind of a connection there, which I mean, Christopher Reeve had two episodes that he was in for Smallville. Margot Kidder had one or two episodes that she was in.
Wow.
So yeah, they brought in Margot Kidder after it was supposed to be Christopher Reeve continuing until his character was killed off, but then he of course passed away.
Right.
So they brought in Margot Kidder to be his character's assistant, and then her character got killed. But
wow, dang.
Anyway, point being, there's they have the interconnect in this, but I'm just saying, as happy as I am for the fact that the fan outcry was enough to give Zack Snyder the ability to remake his movie and to finish his movie that he had to leave and had to have somebody else finish, I'm glad for that. I'm glad that he got to see his vision and we get to see his vision.
Yeah.
Because this is what Man of Steel and Dawn of Justice was leading up to. He had a complete vision for what he wanted to do. And I've seen that when certain visionary style directors get the opportunity to complete their vision, they can often, even if some of the pieces aren't exactly perfect, the completed vision gives us an idea of what's going on. I mean, we look at the Matrix movies. They're making a new one of those that's going to be coming out within the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And when the Wachowskis made that, is the third one as good as the second one? And is the second one as good as the first one? No, not necessarily. But if you take all three of them as a whole, you see the vision they were going for.
Yeah.
You see the thing that they were trying to create in the through line story. From Captain America Winter Soldier all the way up to Endgame, all of the main movies that were made in the Marvel Cinematic Universe were made by the Russo brothers. They wrote and directed almost all of those going up. But you have the outlier like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange. Those had other writers, those had other directors, but they were connected in. But Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, that's all the Russo brothers. And the story they were developing started through Winter Soldier and had a through line going through all of those movies.
Wow.
And when you look at it like that, you can see they all have the right tone and feel. They feel like they're within the same universe. But what's nice about them is you can see the full completion of story. You can see stuff that was embedded from the beginning that gets paid off at the end. And that's why I'm so glad that the fan outcry was enough. But at the same time, I'm looking at these fans that cried out about, oh, Zack Snyder needs his day. These movies were terrible, yada, yada. I'm looking at y'all and I'm saying, how can you say that Justice League was that bad? Because, I mean, I'm sorry. I just for fun at some point, I will find the picture of the Justice League, if you will, leaving this Luthor, because of course they couldn't put Batman in Smallville because Batman is always his own thing when it comes to TV adaptations. It's really hard to pull him into anything.
Okay.
It is. It's very, very hard to get Batman pulled into any of the other stuff, which is why the Green Arrow in the CW universe doubles for Green Arrow and Batman. He's kind of both characters at
once.
Right. because they couldn't get Batman in. They can get Batgirl because nobody cares about Batgirl. But Batman is kind of his own thing. It's a whole separate marketing thing
right. for him.
So, like I was saying, for you to see this picture of this kind of pseudo Justice League mm-hmm. with Green Arrow and Cyborg and it's almost this. I mean, it's a similar setup to what you see at the end of Justice League, where they're all standing at the on top of the building. All the flowers are blooming and crap, and like it's how pretty and whatnot. Aren't you glad you're around for this? There's no Wonder Woman, so like the eye candy factor is gone. Okay. But you have Green Arrow, who's the mastermind and put everything together. Well, I mean, it's your Batman analog. You have a speedster, albeit a crappy one. Right. You have a cyborg that just looks like somebody in a tracksuit, and then you have a blonde-haired jock version of Aquaman. Compare that to what you see at the end of Justice League, and it's like, really? You love this show, Smallville, but you hate this? Look at Batman. He's ripped Batman. He's like muscular Batman. Yes, it's Affleck, but come on. Batfleck is not that bad. You have an actually pretty decent Barry Allen. I mean, it's hard to be a good Barry Allen when you have the CW version of Barry Allen, because that Barry Allen's pretty awesome. But Ezra Miller's Barry Allen is kind of nice and fits with his group. He doesn't have to be a leader.
Right.
He can just be a goofy kid that eats a whole bunch and runs really fast. And then you have a Superman that's actually a pretty decent Superman. I mean, Henry Cavill is a pretty good Superman.
Yeah.
He's believable. He's believable as Superman. He's believable as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And then you have the baddest ass Aquaman freaking ever.
True.
Other than, like, I remember one cover art of Aquaman, like back in the 90s, where they had him with a full beard and it's all tangled and one hand is gone and he's got a hook shoved into his arm.
Oh, yeah.
That's like his one hand.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, that's, I remember Aquaman is just some silly dude riding giant seahorses. This is freaking Aquaman. I like this dude.
Yeah.
Momoa's Aquaman is just like, that seals it.
Yeah. That's the closest to that version of Aquaman we've seen so far too.
And I mean, his Aquaman compared to this other one, and again, this was my wife's choice to watch this. When that Aquaman come on screen, I'm like, hey, look, it's Aquaman. She looked up. She's like, yeah, that's not Aquaman. What are you talking about? That's Aquaman. That's not my Aquaman. I'm like, it's my Aquaman. I get you totally. All right. But seriously, for people to have that much hate over, and again, I cannot stress enough, I'm glad we're getting to see this other version. But the first version wasn't that bad, and it certainly was not as bad as what I've been forced to watch with this Smallville thing. So all you good Smallville point. Lovers out there, hate me as much as you want to, but I'm telling you right now, if you're going to complain and bitch about any other DC product, but you love Smallville and think it's great, wonderful, and you won't admit the glaring green glowing meteor rock flaws in this show, I'm sorry, but good day, sir or madam, whichever you are. Because no.
I think that's a fair point.
You can't get mad at all these newer changes and try to talk about how, well, that's not how it is in the comic books. It doesn't fit the proper continuity. Meteor rocks
have you
all
seen
over Smallville.
Fucking Smallville.
Do not. Yeah, have you seen that shit? Because guess what? No. If you've seen that and you love that, you have no right to talk about continuity, my friend. No right whatsoever. I mean, I'm not even going to add to the fact that they go swimming in Crater Lake, right?
Right.
Which, by the way, is apparently it's a Crater Lake. I don't know if it's from the meteor rocks or not, although there have been meteor rocks found in it. Mm-hmm. But when they go to Crater Lake to go swimming, right?
Right.
The lake is surrounded by mountains. What's the problem here, Mike?
I don't know what you're what you're going after.
This is a technical issue for me.
Okay.
As far as when you scout out filming locations and you film in filming locations.
Right.
And you film a lake with mountains around it.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be located in fucking Kansas. Mike, how many mountains are there in Kansas?
Isn't Kansas a fucking flatland? It's tornado territory, isn't it?
Kansas actually scientifically has been measured, and it is actually flatter than a pancake. The state of Kansas is flatter than a pancake. If you were to enlarge a pancake to the size of the state of Texas, there would be more irregularities in the surface of a pancake. There would be more height elevation in the surface of a pancake than there would be throughout the entire state of Kansas. It is the flattest king place in the United States. Completely flat. But there are mountains. There are mountains around this lake.
This is so stupid.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
Why?
They filmed it in Canada. The whole series was filmed in Canada. And Mike, there's mountains in Canada.
Yes,
there are mountains in Canada.
There definitely are.
By the way, this is just to add on to the fact that that there's a movie coming out. Allison Janney stars in it.
Oh, God.
Which, brilliant actress. I love Allison Janney. But the movie actually, in the title, it's supposed to take place in Yuba County, California.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's supposed to take place in Yuba County. For those of you who don't know, I actually live within Yuba County.
That yes.
gives you an idea of, it's a county just north of Sacramento.
Yeah.
It only has one like large city. Everything else is kind of small. It's not even that large a city. It's really tiny, actually.
Is that considered a city?
Marysville is a city, yes.
Technically speaking?
It's the county seat, actually. It is also the largest city in Yuba County.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it actually counts as a real city. They call themselves the city of Marysville, but it's like it's six blocks wide. It's not a city.
It's a little bigger than that.
It fucking feels like six blocks. The only reason why it feels like such a large town is because the traffic's so damn slow.
That's a story for another day. But here's the fun part about that. Okay, if you were to look at a map of California and find Yuba County, you'll find some interesting features. One, it's almost dead center in the middle of the Northern Valley. As far as east and west goes,
right.
To the east, you have the Sierra Nevada mountains. To the west, you have the coastal range.
Yeah.
Dead center in the middle, you'll see a little tiny mountain set up on your map. That's the Sutter Buttes. That's right there. It's right there above the city of Yuba City.
Yep.
And it's basically dead center. Interesting to note, the Sutter Buttes is a non-active volcano. It's a dormant, extinct volcano.
Yeah.
It is actually the southernmost volcano in the Cascade Range. Most people don't know that.
Oh.
Yeah, it is part of the Cascade Range.
Oh.
But it's been dormant for a long time. But it is dead center in the middle of the valley. Now, if you look north, you'll see from Yuba County, you'll see, depending on where you are, you might see the Sutter Buttes. You might see the mountains going up to the north, because there's more mountains as you head up into Oregon. If you look to the east or to the west, you're going to see mountains. Again, depending on where you are in Yuba County, if you're looking to the west, you might see the Sutter Buttes and then the coastal range off in the distance. If you look to the south, you see kind of nothing because the valley is huge and we're more at the northern end of it, right?
Right.
How are they going to see that if they're filming the movie about Yuba County in Mississippi? Because that's where they filmed it.
Okay.
I don't understand how Mississippi is an appropriate analog for Yuba County, California. Location scouts did not do a good job on that. And so, yeah, that's the kind of thing that just as a person who loves film and loves TV and loves that kind of stuff, those things irritate me when it's like, wait, this is supposed to be in Kansas and they're trekking through the woods up and down huge mountainous slopes. Kansas does not have woods.
I was going to say, Kansas, even Lady Bird was shot actually out in Sacramento.
Yes, Lady Bird was actually shot in Sacramento. Interestingly enough, another movie was shot in Sacramento. We were talking about one of the actors of it a little bit earlier. Hmm. American Beauty was shot in Sacramento.
Really?
At least a few shots of it were. Some of the overhead shots of the neighborhoods and stuff were actually shot in Sacramento.
I'll be damned, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But anyway.
Huh.
Anyway. To the point, I'm only on season 6 of Smallville. I will be watching it until the end because that's the way it's going to be. We're going to watch that till the end, and then maybe I can convince my wife to finally go and rewatch all of the CW DC stuff with me. Because okay. if I'm going to watch
Mountains in Kansas,
well, if I'm going to watch the Green Arrow, I want him to actually have a real leather costume instead of a bright green pleather costume. If I'm going to watch a speedster, I want him to actually look like the Flash instead of like he's hanging out at like he's in the Mickey Mouse Club doing a rap song or something. That's about the best way I can describe it.
Like he's a dance extra on Kids Incorporated.
Yes, that's even better.
Deep cut.
That show.
Deep cut.
I love that show. I mean, just give me real costumes, real world style costumes, stuff that actually works and looks like it's, you know, decent. And also, let me just go with this final thing. Y'all love this Smallville so much. You think it's so great. But here's the thing. What is Superman's most visible, most, in many ways, most important power that he has? Yeah, he's got strength, right? You know, he's got the heat vision. That's great. He can see through shit. But what can that dude do? What did Richard Donner make us believe? Do you remember?
That he could turn the world backwards?
Interestingly enough, there is an episode in here.
Time control?
No, there is an episode in here where he actually does go back in time because something bad happens and he's given the opportunity to go back in time and change it, and then something even more bad happens.
Oh,
because,
wow.
You know, a price still needs to be paid.
Right.
One person dies the first time around. He's not cool with that. He goes back, thinks he can prevent it all from happening, and he does prevent that person from dying, but then somebody else dies.
Oh, wow.
But that guy was going to die anyway. I mean, it's part of the Superman mythos. That dude has to die.
Oh, wow.
Kind of the thing. But anyway, when that episode happens, and he tells, Clark tells his friend Chloe about being sent back in time and reliving the day, She says, "What did you do? Spin the world backwards on its axis?" So again, funny joke.
Of course,
to reference things.
Yeah.
No, but that does allude to it. What Richard Donner? What the tagline for the Richard Donner Superman was? You will believe a man can fly. That's the thing. Superman. I'm not looking for Superman for his strength. I'm not looking for Superman for the heat vision. The you know, his breath thing that he does, the blowhard routine.
Right.
I'm not looking at him for looking through, being able to look through crap. You know what I want to see? I want to see that dude fly. Because there are other strong dudes. Nope. In fact, Smallville's executive said the only things they couldn't do, he could never have tights and he could never fly. What the fuck is the point of having a Superman TV series if dude don't wear the costume and dude don't fly? So again, thank you for the new Justice League movie Snyder's cut. Thank you very much. But also, screw you for liking Smallville so much. God damn it, this thing pisses me off.
Anyway, fan backlash is a very bittersweet thing. It can go one way or the other. It's volatile.
That's all right. They can hate me. It's DC. I'm not worried. You know, Star Wars fans would have a whole different thing. Those are my people. But anyway, by the way, one more note. Since I want to hit, I've touched on almost all the fandoms. Star Trek. Let's just talk about Star Trek for a second. Oh,
are you sure you want to do that?
Yes, I do. The first new Star Trek movie, the first new Abrams Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
One of the early sequences is, young Kirk in his stepdad's car because, you know, he has a stepdad now since his dad died because the whole timeline changed and whatnot. Yeah. And he drives it into a gorge, right?
Yeah.
And jumps out at the last second.
Yeah.
And then he gets arrested by a RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah. What state is that in? Is that in Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no gorges in Iowa.
Who knows what the fuck is going to happen? No. I'm going to give this one because it's like 200 years in the future. who knows what kind of crazy, destructive World War III shit happened before the whole planet got together and you were able to do the Star Trek thing.
Okay, I'll give you that, because I mean that's what Khan was around in, was like some big wars and stuff. I will give you that. Okay. Abrams, you get a pass on geography today. Today. However, you lose it for the second movie, Into Darkness, where the two ships, the Enterprise and the new ship that Admiral RoboCop had put together.
RoboCop. You're just going to call them all RoboCop now.
He is Admiral RoboCop.
I know he's though. Admiral it's RoboCop. Yeah.
It's literally RoboCop.
Yeah.
The ship that Admiral RoboCop series,
you should see the animated movie where he's the voice of Batman, by the way. He's fucking incredible.
I think I might have. But anyway, depending on which one, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But they're fighting near the moon. And yet somehow when the Enterprise loses power, it is sucked into Earth's gravity, even though they're by the moon. They wouldn't have been sucked into Earth's gravity.
No.
And it would have taken them days. Even if they were caught in Earth's gravity, it would have taken them days to fall back into Earth. Not like seconds, because the moon is really, really, really fucking far away from Earth. Like really far away. So I'm just saying your lunar cartography, no, your stellar cartography sucks, J.J. Abrams. I'll give you a pass on your geography, but stellar cartography, you're screwed. Anyway, Mike, where can people be listening and becoming extremely angry with me for my take on Smallville?
Well, you could be listening to us at the website. That is thezenialchronicles.com or zencron.com. Speaking of Zencron, you can follow us also on our social as well. We're on Facebook and we are on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. I've been doing this for like 2 years. I should be knowing this is a full pitch, but you know, I don't. Anyways.
We are almost 2 years, right? Next week will be 2 years, won't it?
Yeah, it's like 2 years. We've been doing it for a while,
We're going to do a special episode next week. We're going to be naked while we do the episode.
Sure. Okay.
Like I'm not. Seriously. I got kids walking around this place, and I got other people that don't want to see me naked. You have your wife. Oh, right. You have people that don't want to see me naked. Okay, go on. where else are they listening to us?
They're listening to us on... I hate you. You're listening to us on, you could be listening to us on TuneIn or on Spotify or on Apple or on Google, all those podcast places. But the last place you should be taking a look at us, if you have not checked us out already, you should be looking up the Zenio Chronicles on YouTube right now. Go to YouTube. If you're not listening to us on YouTube, go to YouTube, go search the Zenio Chronicles. We want you to do us a favor. We need to get to 100 subscribers. So we need you to do two things for us in order to do that, because our podcast, our entire archive, that 2 years worth of podcasts we've got going on right now, they're on that site. You can't even go 2 years back on our regular website and hear all the podcasts back. So then you get like all of the things if you subscribe to our channel. So go subscribe to our channel. And James, there is also one thing to do. What would that be?
Eat the taco.
Everybody loves to eat tacos.
Hold on.
This is true.
Yes, I do. Hold on. Let me think of... Lick the kitty.
No, sir. Sir. Now it's not the time.
Double click the mouse?
No. I mean, no, because then they lose the subscribe. If you hit it twice, it goes away.
Flick the bean?
No. James.
Oh. Click the bell.
Yes, that's the one. Click the bell to make sure.
Click the bell.
Click the bell to make sure that you get notified when we drop a video or another podcast. They all show up in video form, quote unquote. They're audio podcasts, but they're on our YouTube channel. And when we're unable to make it, we do throw up a video on those so you know what's going on with us all the time. Even when we don't drop a podcast, we're on YouTube. So go subscribe to our YouTube channel and click the bell.
While you're there. If I've mentioned anything throughout this episode or Mike has where you want to get some clarification, if you want to see the awful version of the Justice League from Smallville, please go and try to find clips from that on YouTube and have a bucket handy or you know, something to dry your tears from laughter or crying, whichever one that is.
Or you could just cry in the bucket.
cry in the bucket. Also, while you're there, Mike actually has a few other things that he does. Again, part of the reason why he can't watch as many things as I do is I'm a lazy ass who sits around and watches things. Mike actually continually creates stuff. So, hey, I'm giving you props, man.
I appreciate that. That's good.
He also has a page called Ruling Note Music where he talks about music stuff, history of music, gear questions, basically everything music related. That's where he gets all of that out. And he has another site that he does, another page that he does, I should say, on YouTube with his wife called Chronosode Games. This is one that they are regularly putting out content. And I'm talking like boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
This stuff is happening fast. I think it's a replacement for other things. But
I got
to get the digs in when I can. You are constantly seeing him put out videos of Mike playing video games. The premise being the video games will be played in the chronological order of the story, not in the order that the video games were released. So these are for video games that have multiple titles, like The Legend of Zelda games, anything that has a huge backstory, huge long story where you can see the story happen in the proper chronological order. And the best part is Mike absolutely sucks at playing video games, so you get to laugh along with his wife as he makes mistake after mistake after mistake. So on both of those, check those out. If you like them, heck, even if you don't, subscribe, click the bell, just give yourself something else to watch, something else to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
I think they're a little safer for work than what we've been lately, but otherwise, thank you for listening to us. And we will be back again for, I'm guessing this is our 2-year anniversary, coming back next week. So we hope to have you listening then.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.